excuse me, this is, Arrowhead Capital versus Picture Pro. Okay, so let me just make sure that we are all set up for this argument. So Mr. Stillman, can you see us and hear us all right?
I can indeed, Your Honor.
All right, we can hear you loud and clear. And Mr. Goddard?
Golden.
Golden, sorry. Yeah, come on up.
I'm the
counsel
for the appellee. Do you want me up?
Okay, so Mr. Stillman, you've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal, so that gives you eight minutes to begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Philip Stillman for Appellant Picture Pro, LLC. Your Honor, this appeal should be reversed for two independent reasons. First, the district court never had personal jurisdiction over Picture Pro. Picture Pro was not a defendant, was not a judgment debtor, was not a party to the 2018 judgment. And its very first appearance in the district court, it expressly objected to personal jurisdiction. The district court nonetheless found jurisdiction by consent based on Picture Pro's later objection to a post-judgment turnover request. We believe that that-
Before we go there, maybe we should start with sort of the elephant in the room, which is whether or not we should even entertain this appeal in light of sanctions that remain unpaid in the Ninth Circuit. That's an argument that's been made. It's one that the Fifth Circuit found persuasive. And I guess I'm curious as to why we want to entertain arguments from folks who are just sort of shopping things around in different circuits and then not complying with orders to pay sanctions.
Well, you know, Arrowhead, the issue there, certainly the motions panel already denied that request for dismissal without prejudice. Right. However, this is normally referred to under the disentitlement doctrine, and other than the Fifth Circuit, which was an anomaly in terms of ruling that you can't invoke the appellate procedures because of some unrelated case in another district.
Well, it's not unrelated. I don't think. I mean, they seem related. Whether they're related enough might be a question to be considered, but hard to call unrelated.
Well, I mean, in the sense that they're the same, they're two parties that are the same, yes, but the issue in the Ninth Circuit was an issue on a subpoena, nothing to do with the Fifth Circuit case.
But it's all about collecting on a judgment, right?
Yeah, overall, yes.
And collecting on a judgment from this circuit, right?
And collecting on a judgment in this circuit and in the Louisiana Bankruptcy Court was really where that was that arose from in the Fifth Circuit, but this is the real issue here is that Picture Pro actually paid the check, gave them a check, and then after a year they Arrowhead said that they couldn't deposit it because
you go to the Ninth Circuit and you say we've already paid and we should be declared to have complied with our sanction obligation, but you haven't done that, right?
No, Your Honor, we have not done that, but this is the fact. I mean, that issue has sailed. I mean, the Ninth Circuit made its ruling and that's it, and we attempted to pay the sanctions, but then we found out that Arrowhead, the alleged liquidator, doesn't even have a bank account. So the order to pay Arrowhead was literally, we made that check, and then we found out that Arrowhead couldn't deposit it, and the attorney for Arrowhead couldn't deposit it, which led to an entire investigation about whether Arrowhead even existed, because obviously I think it's as in here and in Bermuda, the idea that a liquidator does not have any bank account to liquidate
to liquidate any claims or assets received created a strongly suspicious situation, which upon investigation showed, in fact, that, and this is not really before the court, but showed that that was a significant problem, and Arrowhead may not actually have any ability to exist. So the appeal, this appeal presents a threshold jurisdictional rule.
Arrowhead has a judgment here, right?
Yes, against seven.
Are you challenging that judgment?
No, Your Honor.
No, you can't. You've already lost on appeal on that. So,
wait a minute, Your Honor.
I guess I'm confused. I mean, it seems to me that if you have a sanction that you believe you've paid, then you go back to the court that ordered the sanction to say, by the way, we've paid this thing. We're off the hook. But you haven't done that.
Well,
why not?
Your Honor, this is an issue. I mean, I guess we could and we should. And I never really thought we needed to because we actually paid it. But nonetheless, the issue here is that this is a judgment collection against Seven Arts Entertainment. Not Picture Pro. Picture Pro is not a party to the underlying judgment, is not a successor in interest, and was never any sort of a party. Picture Pro just showed up and in response to subpoenas and objected to personal
jurisdiction. No, I get that, but it seems to me that your arguments were that Arrowhead doesn't even really exist, and I just don't think that that's really relevant to anything that's going on here. I mean, the point is that this is now involves Picture Pro because you have assets that you've been ordered to turn over.
Well, see, that's the problem, Your Honor. The Picture Pro does not have assets that of Seven Arts Entertainment. And the second aspect of our argument here on appeal is that the court had no ability to order the turnover of assets which Picture Pro doesn't own or have, nor were they even located in the state of New York. And so that's the second problem with the issue here
on the issue of personal jurisdiction. Why isn't it the fact that your client made the strategic decision to come into the court and object to a turnover order directed at what you said is another entity, waive personal jurisdiction? There are a number of cases, Wright and Miller summarizes them, but that a motion to intervene is fundamentally incompatible with an objection to personal jurisdiction. So why isn't that the case?
We have never moved, Picture Pro never made a motion to intervene in this case.
I know,
but
the cases also say if you're a de facto intervener, the fact that there wasn't a formal motion to intervene, the fact of the matter is you walked into court, filed papers objecting to a turnover order directed at another party,
It was an order for the shares in Picture Pro to be transferred, which was prohibited under Colorado law. And so we had no, Picture Pro had already objected to jurisdiction and already set forth all the reasons why it was not subject to jurisdiction in the district court. So when this came up and this turnover order came up, it was simply a defensive action. And if you take a look at the types of cases where there's been a waiver, it's not when a party is objected initially to jurisdiction and then is trying to.
I know, but you objected to jurisdiction in connection with a subpoena four or five years earlier, right?
This is in connection with
a turnover order that was 5 years later, and again, you made a strategic decision to challenge that.
Well, but without waiving jurisdiction, because we argued jurisdiction.
You didn't say anything about jurisdiction in the turnover proceeding, did you?
In the turnover procedure, we objected to the jurisdiction of the court to even order that turnover, and we relied on the fact that we had already objected to jurisdiction and presented the evidence of personal jurisdiction and presented the evidence of why that personal jurisdiction was there. So we weren't asking, we made an objection to the turnover solely because the New York court had lacked jurisdiction to order anything to do any kind of transfer to Picture Pro when Picture Pro was not a party to the action. And so we preserved
why couldn't SAE make that objection? SAE could have said this violates Colorado law. They didn't need Picture Pro to come in.
SAE could have.
Right.
And did, but SAE is a public company, and they did, so why, and they didn't, yeah, they why, didn't do it.
Picture Pro, again, the arguments that were made about that the court didn't have jurisdiction to do the turnover order because it violated Colorado law, didn't need Picture Pro to come in, yet Picture Pro decided to come in and weigh in, and now says, well, but you have no personal jurisdiction over us.
Well, Your Honor, it's Picture Pro's asset. I mean, it's Picture Pro that we're talking about the interests of. So even if Seven Arts owned those interests, it was Picture Pro that was the one at risk of having this extremely hostile entity coming in and trying to take at least.
But you
some
just told me. You just told me. Interest. You just told me that SAE could have made all the arguments that Picture Pro made itself, right? A violation of Colorado law. Picture Pro didn't need to make that argument. SAE could have made that argument, right?
Well, SAE could have made that argument, but it was not. SAE almost. I mean, SAE is the judgment debtor in this case and didn't have a horse in the race to the extent that it was already obligated to turn over whatever assets it had pursuant to the judgment. And I think the New York Superior Court, district court, certainly has a jurisdiction over Seven Arts, but it's Picture Pro's. It was Picture Pro's stock or membership interest that were being ordered to be turned over, and that would be something that would be directly relevant to Picture Pro in Colorado. And it was coming in to object to simply to that, and that the court didn't have jurisdiction. If the court had ordered Seven Arts to do it, Picture Pro, that would have been a different story. But the court ordered Picture Pro to turn it over when it was Seven Arts' asset.
But your response to the turnover request didn't make any mention about this jurisdictional point, right? I mean, you were challenging service on Seven Arts, and you were raising state law claims, but you weren't challenging the jurisdiction of the court. I think you even acknowledged that it was a court of competent jurisdiction, didn't you?
Well, under CPLR 5225, it doesn't. The statute in conjunction with Rule 69. Doesn't authorize a district court to order the turnover assets that were not owned by the judgment debtor Seven Arts and were not in Picture Pro's possession, custody, or control, and were not located in New York. So yes, that the appeal is not about whether Arrowhead was was frustrated in collection. It's about whether a federal court sitting in diversity may use post-judgment turnover motion to adjudicate third-party ownership, successor liability, fraudulent transfer, and out-of-state garnishment issues without a complaint, without a special proceeding, without jurisdiction. So the personal jurisdiction issue was subsumed by the objection that was made by Picture Pro in connection with the turnover order. And then as the state and the case law in this circuit says, that once you raise your first argument about personal jurisdiction, you don't have to keep repeating it over and over again. And we've consistently maintained, Picture Pro has consistently maintained, that the district court lacks of jurisdiction.
They're totally different things, though, and they're separated by 4 years. Right? I mean, it's not until 2024 that there's the turnover motion, and that's when you come in, you oppose it, you make arguments that Seven Arts could have made itself, and you don't say anything about jurisdiction. I mean, that's hard to see that this was you preserving jurisdictional arguments that you then don't make until you've lost on the turnover order. Anyway, we're going to hear back from you again, Mr. Stillman. You've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal, but we'll now hear
Thank
from
you,
Mr.
Your Honor.
That's fine. We'll now hear from Mr. Golden. And Mr. Golden, just make sure you stay very close to those mics, because when it's Zoom, if you don't talk into the mics, the other people can't hear you.
I'm only 6 feet tall, Your Honor.
So that's it. Well,
Your Honor, Barry Golden, I'm here for the plaintiff, the appellee, the cross-appellant, and the judgment creditor, Arrowhead Capital Finance Limited. I'd like to do two or three things. First, answer some of the misrepresentations that were made to you. Second, answer your questions if you have any. And then third, make a very special plea. First, there's been an issue raised improperly as to whether my client exists. If you've read the papers, you know from the Bermuda Supreme Court has said that my client, Arrowhead, exists. We have a certificate of good standing. They are both in the record. At docket number 106.1, saying that Arrowhead is in good standing. The argument has then been made that Arrowhead's liquidator doesn't have a separate bank account. We have repeatedly requested, and the courts in California and New York have requested, that because Arrowhead doesn't have any presence in the United States, that the funds be paid to my Pennsylvania IOLTA account. I was accused by Mr. Stillman and his client of stealing money from the Pennsylvania IOLTA account. I cannot, I do not, you know better. Mr. Woods, who is the liquidator, also has an account to which they could have made payment. They didn't. Instead, they made a check that was insufficient in amount because it didn't include
the interest.
It wasn't certified as required under California law, and it was made to Arrowhead, which we already said has different accounts. So they knew they were making it to the wrong thing. And when the liquidator tried to open an account for Arrowhead in Bermuda, Bermuda banks refused because the principal of a picture pro is Peter Hoffman, who has spent time in federal penitentiary and is a disbarred attorney, and no Bermuda bank in present regimen wants to take a risk of depositing a check that's signed by him. So let's put the issue aside. California law clearly says if you issue an uncertified check in the wrong amount or the wrong way, that person doesn't have to accept it. It can return it. It can say, pay us the right check in the right way in the right amount. We did that. We have never been paid. Which isn't surprising because we have judgments that go back now 14 years. They now total $3 million. They include contempt judgments, sanction orders, monetary judgments that were affirmed by this court in 2018, and they still haven't been paid. So please do not ask us to trust them. Please do not ask us to believe them. They don't pay. Now, as to the intervention, the argument was made that in 2010, Picture Pro intervened to oppose a subpoena. Intervened in Southern District of New York before Judge Fela. What they didn't tell you, we tried to make clear in our papers, is they intervened not only for themselves, but for another company called, with a fascinating name, Uncorked Entertainment. It actually doesn't sell wine, it's a film distributor or film distribution agent. They didn't have to intervene for a film distribution agent. Uncorked could have. They chose to intervene, and Judge Fela recognized that in her opinion and said they intervened not only for themselves, but also for Uncorked. They don't ever satisfy that subpoena, which is we had to enforce in the Federal District Court in California. They don't turn over the documents there. They appeal the sanctions decision there. It goes to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit said you were supposed to comply with the sanctions decision of our district court, and you didn't. And not only did you not do that, your appeal was frivolous, and so they sanctioned them further, which is why we get back to the check issue that they never paid. Later on, we discover that Mr. Hoffman has taken the assets of the judgment debtor Seven Arts and transferred them to another company, which he happens to manage, and which has
stay to, close to the mic.
Which he happens to manage, and which also diverts the money to him. But that's why he doesn't want to comply with the subpoena, because the subpoena would disclose that. So he doesn't disclose that. It takes us years to find out that the company he's actually transferred it to is Picture Pro. In the meantime, he declared Seven Arts has no money, can't pay. Well, it didn't have any money. It couldn't pay because he transferred the money to Seven Arts, from Seven Arts to Picture Pro, which is why Picture Pro is successor. So we have jurisdiction in this, in the Southern District of Court, New York, not only because they intervened trying to cover up, but also because Picture Pro is the successor. There's nothing left of Seven Arts now. It's all in Picture Pro. And because they are the successor, under New York law, automatically in the federal law, and I believe the federal decision, Second Circuit decision, is called Pasquale, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. That is jurisdiction. But there's another argument as well. If one wanted to raise a lack of capacity argument, which they have tried to do, the lack of capacity has to be raised initially. So they should have been raising that years and years and years ago. And they didn't. And in fact, we are blessed with another Supreme Court decision very recently, which goes by the wonderful name for all of us who are here in New York of Coney Island. I don't know whether your honors are aware of that. It was came down just this year, in which the Supreme Court said, even if a judgment was void, you have a limited time to try and reopen it. Rule 60B1 applies. In that case, person waited 7 years. They said, too late. 60B1 applies, can't raise it now. So all the arguments that have been raised here are arguments that have been raised before in the Ninth Circuit and the Fifth Circuit, and in this circuit, have been decided before. But what goes on is Mr. Hoffman transfers the assets and the monies from one company to another, and we're stuck in a position, and then conceals that. So we're in a position where it takes us 2 to 4 years every time he transfers to try and get hold of the money. And it takes him about an hour to make the transfer. And this, to be very blunt, this is my plea. Please make the system of justice work. We've been trying to collect from him since 2012. It's a lot of years now. This case was in front of Judge Fela since 2014. It's a lot of years now, and he hasn't paid a penny on it while he's transferred and diverted the monies to himself. Now, I'd love to answer any questions you have.
Questions? No, I think we have no questions.
Then I shall take no more of your time.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Golden. We'll hear from Mr. Stillman for 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't want to get in too much of it, but Mr. Golden has gone way outside the record, and there's nothing to show that, you see, one of the problems with Mr. Golden's case is that he conflates his judgment against Seven Arts with a complete third party non-judgment debtor, Picture Pro. And each time he talks each time he's argued, he talks about trying to collect from Mr. Hoffman, trying to collect from Picture Pro. Seven Arts is a publicly held corporation. It is not, and Mr. Hoffman has zero control over that company and doesn't own any of its assets. Seven Arts and Mr. Golden has a judgment against Seven Arts. And all of this argument is a personal grudge against Mr. Hoffman and Picture Pro, when there's no showing, there's been no finding whatsoever of successor and interest. There's been no finding of any kind of fraudulent transfer. And in fact, what Mr. Golden is trying to do here is, and this is in the second part of our appellate argument, he's trying to leapfrog over a little procedural nicety, which is to establish that there is a fraudulent transfer. And there isn't, and there hasn't been any effort. All he does is say exactly what he said today.
Hoffman transferred money back and forth. Well, Hoffman is not a judgment debtor in the first instance, and he's obligated to file if he thinks that that's the case, and he thinks he's got a claim. The remedy, even if the district court has jurisdiction over Picture Pro, is to file a fraudulent transfer cause of action. And that is why, under the even if the court were to find jurisdiction here, and I don't think it should, and even if the turnover order independently fails under Rule 69, so because it doesn't permit a judgment debtor to a creditor to seize assets of a non-party simply by asserting, as Mr. Golden has done, that those assets once belonged to the debtor or should belong to the debtor or were transferred many, many years ago. And those issues are well briefed in our papers. But the problem is that this is not a turnover proceeding under Rule 69 and CPLR 5225. This is a full blown ownership and successor liability lawsuit disguised as a motion, which is not properly before the district court, and the district court lacks the ability to do that. So even if the court were to find jurisdiction here, which I don't think it should, the order still needs to be reversed because it goes way beyond the court's ability under CPLR 5225, which limits its ability to issue turnover only against a judgment debtor or third party. So, sorry, Your Honor.
No, I was going to say, I think we're over, so I was going to just ask you to wrap it up.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Your Honor. My last point was simply that under the disentitlement doctrine, that was a discovery issue in the Ninth Circuit. It should not preclude this court from making significant rulings on this case, especially even if the court were to find a personal jurisdiction, which I asked the court not to. So the June 26 orders rest on two legal errors, which you've discussed, and there's been no finding that Picture Pro possessed or controlled any of the assets, and no special proceeding, no personal jurisdiction, and the proper remedy, Your Honor, is reversal. Thank you very much for your time and letting me go over a little bit. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you both. We will reserve decision on that. We have two